the love. I'm hanging on, we push and shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what.
Holy moly, I just felt the need to play that first verse of our opening music. Compared to What? By Les McCann and Eddie Harris. Interesting evening last night. I want to thank all of you who joined us with the town crier's first visit with us. We're going to stay on this hot and heavy. He'll be rejoining us both Monday and Tuesday of next week as we continue our discussion, not so much about relocating outside of the country and how great things are in Argentina, but we're going to begin talking about the man and how we've all been hoodwinked by the man to believe things that just aren't. And we're going to begin to talk to you about how to get out from underneath the thumbnail of, well, let's just say Damasa. Good evening and welcome to a Friday night installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. I'm your host and commentator for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett, and you are listening to us live on this 25th day of March. Baby, it's almost over. The year is going to be a quarter over by, what, Tuesday or something like that? I don't know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know, one of those days. But you're listening to us here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'm real proud to have you here. Got some really good and quality emails in today for Roger. We have forwarded them on, and he has begun to respond to them. It is interesting to me that we got more emails from Americans who are already living overseas in other areas and are very interested in looking into the Argentinian situation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with market reports and data and all that business because I want to continue to pick up where we left off on earlier in the week with our commentary dealing with the so-called revisionist view of the Great Depression. Earlier in the week, we talked about the orgy in bonds and how they controlled and had so much to do with eventually destroying the manufacturing base in this country. Tonight, we're going to begin talking about, well, how the bookkeepers changed the numbers. Stay with us, won't you?
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
I cannot tell you how much I thoroughly enjoy listening to that marvelous piece of music. Sarah Vaughan, and believe it or not, Barry Manilow. And another time, another life, my friends. I have much going on these days, but my goal is to sometime in the next 2 weeks get us some new music to pump out here and some completely new selection of some jazz favorites that we can share with you. It has been interesting in the 5-6 months I've been back here, I guess, the response we've had to this flavor of music, people who are jazz lovers, people who have been introduced to jazz through this program, who are finding it not to be this ethereal, off in the clouds, whacked out, the smooth jazz junk they play on the radio isn't jazz at all. It's just new age crap that's designed so much of it on electronic synthesizers, and baby, it ain't music to me. But whatever the case may be. So thanks to all of you for your encouragement along these lines. Topic: bookkeepers. We've talked about this over the last 16 years or so that I've been on the air. It'll be 16 years this coming June. And it has been unique to look back on some of the things that have been discussed. Roger shared with you our very earliest days together, going back so many years ago when Robbie and I worked together with a couple of brothers that some of you know, and some other people. Smoke and mirrors. It's the old adage that we've shared with you that figures lie and liars figure, and there is no better liar in the world. And of course, Stephen, don't take this personally because you know better, but there's no better liar in the world than a bookkeeper. These are the people at the government levels and at the banking that have their own little bean counter mentalities of existing, all of which is designed to bamboozle the living crap out of the average idiot out there, who unfortunately means in most cases the average American. I do not refer to you people as idiots, because if you were, you would not be tuning into this program. So you've got to keep that factor in mind here. We're not considering any of you idiots. We're considering you the American intelligentsia for tuning into Republic Broadcasting Network and some of the things that we try to share with you. After all, my goal for all these years has been nothing more than to challenge you to think. Take this information that we share with you and use your head, dissect it just like it was an earthworm in your eighth grade biology class, and dissect that sucker and get to know every single aspect of its internal organs. That is all I've ever wanted for the audience, not to get them to believe the way I believe or the way their parents believe, but to take this spattering of information. Now you do the adding and subtracting and the multiplication and the division and the, you know, the calculus, etc. Come up with your own damn conclusions. And so when I come to you sharing with you the comments about the so-called dilemma of the bookkeepers, as it were, as we begin to discuss this or have this ongoing discussion about the Great Depression, I am returning to the roots that I enjoy. And that is to share history with you. That would be fine. It's probably better if he contacts me after the program. I don't know if we can pull it off during the break. That's usually when I have to go down the hall to the library. So, Greg, I'd love to chat with you. And please do feel free to contact me after the program. I just, that break is real tight and it's real difficult to do. Anyway, let's move forward. One of the plays of George Bernard Shaw, branded unpleasant by the playwright himself, was entitled The Doctor's Dilemma. Now, the protagonist in the play was a physician who came into conflict with the oath of Hippocrates. He had developed a new treatment for a fatal disease, but the number of volunteers for the test run exceeded by one the number of beds in his clinic. So unwittingly, the doctor found himself in the role of playing God to decide who shall live and who shall die. Kind of sounds like Obamacare a little bit, doesn't it? And yet, by the same token, Shaw could have written the most unpleasant play of them all, and he could have entitled it The Bookkeeper's Dilemma. Now, in this book, the protagonist, a chartered accountant, finds himself in conflict with the norms and rules of bookkeeping as set out by one Luca Pacioli. Our bookkeeper was willing to, and Luca Pacioli, by the way, was a real person who lived from 1450 to 1509. The bookkeeper, or bean counter, was willing to compromise the high standards of the accounting profession. Now, beforehand, the question of how much is 2 times 2 was categorically answered 4. But now creative accounting would respond, well, how much do you want it to be? Our bookkeeper dropped a snowball that caused an avalanche, ultimately destroying Western civilization down in the valley. Luca Pacioli, good Italiano that he was, he taught the mathematics at most universities of Quattrocento Italy, including those of Perugia, in Naples, in Milan, in Florence, in Rome, in Venice. In 1494, he published his Summa Arithmetica. Tractatus 11 of that work is a textbook on bookkeeping. The author showed that the assets and liabilities of a firm will exactly balance out, provided that we introduce a new item in the liability column that had been variously called by subsequent authors net worth, or undivided surplus, or shareholder equity, or simply capital. This innovation made it easy to check the ledger by finding that at the close of every business day, assets minus liabilities is exactly equal to 0. If it is not, then there would be an error somewhere in the books. But what Pacioli discovered was something far more significant than a method to find errors in the arithmetic. It was called the invention of what we today call double-entry bookkeeping, and what Goethe had called the finest product of the human brain. Why was this discovery so important in the history of Western civilization? Because for the first time ever, it was possible to calculate and monitor shareholder equity with precision. This is indispensable in starting and running a joint stock company, for without it, new shareholders could not get aboard and old ones could not disembark safely. And nor would stock markets or mergers or acquisitions be at all possible. the national economy would be a conglomeration of cottage industries quite unable to undertake any large-scale projects such as the construction of a transcontinental railroad or the launching of an intercontinental shipping line. You see, the invention of the balance sheet did to the art of management what the invention of the compass did to the art of navigation. Seafarers no longer needed to rely on clear skies in order to keep the right direction. The compass made it possible for them to sail under cloudy skies with equal confidence. And yet, likewise, managers no longer have to depend on risk-free opportunities to keep their enterprise profitable. The balance sheet tells them what risks they may take and which ones they must avoid. There's no exaggeration to say that the present industrial might of Western civilization rested on the cornerstone of double-entry bookkeeping. You want to know about double-entry bookkeeping? You find all you have to do, you can, on one Walter Burien, B-U-R-I-E-N. Walter's been a guest on this network before. I've interviewed Walter many times in years gone by. Now, keep in mind that Oriental, or Chinese, or Middle Eastern, Arab civilizations would have outstripped ours had they chanced upon this discovery of the balance sheet first. You see, my friends, for the past 70 years, the world has been fed the propaganda line due to Keynes, John Maynard Keynes, that the gold standard was a barbaric relic, long since ripe to be discarded. But the unpleasant truth, one that propagandists have forgotten to mention, is that the gold standard was merely a proxy for sound accounting, as well as moral principle. Nor was it the gold standard per se that politicians wanted to overthrow. Certain accounting and moral principles had become an intolerable fetter upon their ambition for aggrandizement and perpetuation of power. Historically, these principles had been singled out for discard long before the gold standard was given the coup de grace. The first successful attack on accounting standards was heralded by the establishment in 1913 of our own Federal Reserve System, the engine for monetizing government debt. And just how this has led to a hitherto unprecedented, even unthinkable corruption of accounting standards, this, my friends, is a question that has never been addressed by impartial scholarship before. Stay with us. We'll get to it.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
And the sound of Ramsey Lewis. You can't miss that sound. Yeah, he just had a style all his own. My grandfather used to go see Ramsey Lewis play when he was still in college down in Chicago when he was working on Thursday nights at Stifel Lamp Company years ago. We are spending time giving history lessons. Some of you don't probably find history particularly fascinating. I always have. It was at a very early age that my fifth grade teacher, Donald Adair, taught me not only the importance of reading and absorbing, but he began to teach me the truth. And I've shared this more times than I know how to do, but I knew the truth about the War of Northern Aggression back in the fifth grade. The average person out here in this country still thinks the issue was slavery. We don't understand it was taxes and control and power, etc., etc. And, well, I guess in a way it did have to do with slavery. It had to do with enslaving the rest of us. So we really are on equal footing. Black, white, brown, yellow, the red man, whatever. We're all slaves. Well, that's partially because most people have a slave mentality. And that's the way they've been raised to think. So, we have to break away from that, and that's a part of what our good friend Roger Sales is going to try to begin teaching us next week. So going back to our history lesson, we're talking about double bookkeeping. We're talking about the manipulation of people's minds that's leading us into this massive enslavement, I guess. Let's talk a little bit about interest. Financially speaking, of course, is in the rate of interest. Let's talk about the wealth of nations. In order to see all these kind of connections, we must recall that any durable change in the rate of interest has a direct and immediate effect on the value of all financial assets, just as tides and ebbs have on the level of boats anchored in the harbor. Rising interest rates make the value of bonds fall, vice versa. And yet, while a rise makes of interest rates makes the wealth of nations shrink and a fall in the rate of interest makes it expand, the benefits and penalties are distributed capriciously and indiscriminately without regard to merit. Now, this was hardly disturbing under the gold standard, as the rate of interest was remarkably stable and changes in the wealth of nations was, well, frankly, quite negligible. A lasting increase in interest rates could only occur in the wake of a national disaster, such as a flood, an earthquake, war, etc., etc. And yet in all those cases, higher interest rates turned out to be beneficial. They had the effect of spreading the loss of wealth due to the destruction of property more widely, more evenly. And yet those segments of society that were lucky enough to escape physical destruction still had to take their share in the loss through the increased cost of servicing capital due to the higher rate of interest payable on future borrowing. Future borrowing, wow. Everybody was prompted to work and save harder in order that the damage might be repaired more quickly and expeditiously. And yet as interest rates gradually fell back to their original level, the wealth of nations began to expand once more. Again, benefits were shared in the form of reduced cost of servicing productive capital on future borrowing. It's not even today widely recognized that the eminence of the gold standard is not to be found in a stable price structure. In other words, it's neither possible nor desirable. But in a low and stable interest rate structure, maximizing the wealth of nations, ruling out capricious and disturbing swings in it. The gold standard, which was taken for granted before World War I, was put at risk once general mobilization was ordered in 1914 by the manner in which belligerent governments set out to finance their war efforts. Oy vey? They wanted to perpetuate the myth that the war was popular. And there was no real opposition to the senseless bloodshed and destruction of property that could have been prevented through better diplomacy. Son of a bitch, it sounds just like what we're living through today, does it not? The option of financing the war effort, any war effort, through taxation, was discarded because it would have made war less popular. So let's hide the tax. They'll never know. War had to be financed through credits. In more details, war bonds were to be issued in unprecedented amounts. When's the last time you heard of a war bond? And he wasn't a distant relative to Gary. Or Barry. Gary Bonds was a singer. Barry Bonds, well, he used to be a ball player. The wealth of nations was shrinking. Even before a single shot was fired in World War I or a single bomb was dropped. And these nations, Italy and France, and so many of these nations began to recall the gold. They ceased production of gold coin, many of the very forms of gold coins that we offer here through Republic Trading Group. They had to cash it in. They had to have paper to finance the war. What a losing proposition. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. We're going to talk about widows and orphans. See how they suffer in all of this. Stand by.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Afraid
how I feel. Have you ever heard two turtles?
Yeah. A little Ella Fitzgerald. Of course, she wasn't little. She was big in more ways than one. But she was the absolute best that ever was. Going back talking about gold standards. This history lesson we're going to do is going to go on for several more installments. I know my friend Larry out there would like it if I just get on it and stay on it, but it's not as simple as that. I've got just so much time within the course of an hour that we can get information out, and under even normal circumstances, I've got enough stuff right now that I can, it's going to take two nights. So we're going to wind up with a total of probably five nights wrapped up in this whole series. When will we run the next one? Whenever I damn well get around to it. Next Wednesday will be the earliest. Under the gold standard, going back to bondholders. Bondholders were protected against a permanent rise in the rate of interest, which in the absence of protection would decimate bond values. All of this was done by the provision of a sinking fund. In case of a fall in the value of the bond, the sinking fund manager would enter the market, keep buying the bond until it was once more quoted at par value. Significantly, sinking fund protection was offered by every self-respecting firm issuing bonds. Are there any self-respecting firms left in that market anymore? I would generally say probably. Even though governments, as a rule, did not offer it, it was understood. In the case of the Scandinavian governments, interestingly enough, it was explicitly stated that if a permanent rise in the rate of interest occurred, then the entire bonded debt of the government would be refinanced at the higher rate. And so bondholders who had put their faith in the government would not be allowed to suffer losses. The banks, the so-called guardians of the people's money, could regard government bonds as then their most trusted earning asset. Such faith, at least in the case of the Scandinavian government obligations, was justified. The risk of a collapse in bond values was completely removed. Look at what we're facing in this nation today. I would not go out and buy a government bond. What? Based upon the fact that they always pay? Pay with what? And at what value? governments back then, at least those in Scandinavia, occupied the moral high ground, something that governments and banks in this nation and of many nations around the world, they occupy, but it ain't moral high ground, I'll guarantee you that. Back then, these people had borrowed money, which in part belonged to widows and orphans. They took to heart the biblical admonition that they did not want to bring upon themselves the curse pronounced on the tormentors of widows and orphans. Not bad. I guess some governments at some point in time paid a little bit of attention. But there was a problem. There was a problem with war bonds issued by belligerent governments. Those bonds were quickly monetized by the banking system, making the refinancing of a bonded debt literally impossible. All of which created a dilemma for the accounting profession. According to an old bookkeeping rule going back to Luca Pacioli that we shall here refer to as the law of assets, an asset must be reported in the balance sheet at acquisition price, or at the market price at the time of reporting, whichever is lower. In a rising interest rate environment, the value of all financial assets, such as bonds and fixed rate obligations, were falling. And the fall must be faithfully recorded in the balance sheet. There are excellent reasons for this law. In the first place, it was designed to prevent credit abuse. Without it, banks and other lending institutions could easily overstate the value of their assets. An invitation to reckless use of credit to the detriment of shareholders and depositors. Wow, does this sound familiar, folks? They've abused it. For if the abuse under this law went on for a considerable period of time, then it could lead to the downfall of the bank. Woo! Hello, Larry! And in an extreme case, when all banks disregarded the law of assets, the banking system could be operating on the strength of phantom capital. And a general credit collapse could well be the result. Now, for non-banking firms, the possibility of overstating asset values also exists and could likewise serve as a temptation for financial adventures. Here I am to save the day. Mighty Mouse is on the way. You see, even if we assume the upright managers would always resist it and not knowingly get involved in such adventures, in the absence of the law of assets, the balance sheet ceased to be a reliable compass to guide the firm, materially increasing the chance of making an error. Managerial errors would compound, and the result could once again be bankruptcy. Economists of a status persuasion argue that an exception of the law of assets could safely be made in case of government bonds, if the government's credit, like Caesar's wife, was above suspicion. The government's ability to retire debt at maturity cannot be doubted. And as a guarantee, these economists point to the government's power to tax as well as its power to collect seniorage. However, the problem is not with paying the nominal value of government bonds at maturity, but with its purchasing power. For you see, currency debasement, now that's a more subtle and hence more treacherous form of default. Oh, let us back up. Read that to me again, Bennett. Currency debasement is a more subtle and hence more treacherous form of default, such as that which has been going on with the United States dollar for God knows how long, at least since 1913, or theoretically 1914. It was the law that was passed in 1913, but the Fed did not come into existence until 1914, at least openly speaking. You see, you must remember the government however powerful, cannot create something out of nothing any more than an individual can. It cannot give to Peter unless it is first taken from Paul, and nor is the taxing power of the government absolute. We're being facetious here, you understand. Financial annals abound in cases where taxpayers revolted against high or unreasonable taxes, except for here in America, which we've not done anything of the sort since the founding of the nation. Hey, baby, a little tea in the harbor? When the taxpayers revolted, it eventually causes the overthrow of government and forces the cancellation of bonded debt. You see, if the taxing power of the governments had been absolute, then World War I could have been financed out of taxes. And no loss of purchasing power to bondholders. All could have been done through debt monetization. Oh, baby, that would have happened. And so a strict application of the law of assets would have made most banks and financial institutions, in the belligerent countries, of course, oh, quite insolvent. The dilemma facing the accounting profession was this. If accountants insisted that the law be enforced, then they could be considered unpatriotic, be held responsible for the weakening financial system of a nation. Oh, under those circumstances, I guess the accountants would have been looked upon as, well, at least under Homeland Security, as terrorists. Demagogues could charge that the accountants were undermining the war effort. But on the other hand, if they allowed the banks to report government bonds in the asset column at acquisition value rather than the lower market value, then they would compromise the time-tested standards of accounting and expose the firm and the economy to all the dangers that would follow from that. Not to mention the fact that they would also bring the credibility of their profession into question. Yeah, right. When's the last time you had H&R Blockbuster do your taxes for you? And so the story of how the accounting profession solved the dilemma, well, frankly, it's never been told. It would appear a safe assumption that the dilemma was solved for it by the belligerent governments themselves through secret directives, making it clear that public disclosure of the bank's true financial condition would not be tolerated. The governments issued secret directives, making it clear that public disclosure of the bank's true financial condition would not be tolerated, and nor could a public discussion of the subtle changes in accounting theory following those in accounting practice ever be entertained. Those included the throwing of the law of assets to the winds, replacing it with a new and more relaxed one, allowing the banks to carry government bonds in the asset column at acquisition value, regardless of the true market value, as if it were a cash item. You must recall that nothing exists on this earth to have any value whatsoever other than what someone else is willing and able to pay for them, my friends. Cash item? Oof. And so a new term was introduced into the dictionary to describe the financial condition of the bank with a hole in its balance sheet, provided that it could still meet the new relaxed criteria for solvency. Such a bank was henceforth called illiquid. And we, throughout the course of this series, shall see why the practice of allowing illiquid banks to keep their doors open is a dangerous course to follow, as it has far-reaching consequences, threatening, as it does, the very foundations of our Western civilization. Simply amazing. Some years ago, the scandal involving Enron was, in fact, a scandal involving not just one accounting firm, as it was alleged, but the entire profession. In the final analyses, the scandal had its origin in the unwarranted relaxation of accounting standards back in 1914, none of which has ever been rectified. Now, I personally am in no position to prove that a secret gag rule was imposed on accountants, but I am at a loss to find an explanation why an open discussion of the wisdom of changing time-honored accounting principles has never taken place. Apparently, you see, there were no defections from the rank and file of the profession denouncing the new regimen as unethical nor self-defeating. These underhanded changes in accounting standards opened the primrose path to self-destruction. The dominant role of Western civilization in the world was due to the moral high ground staked out by the giants of the Renaissance, among them Luca Pacioli. And as this high ground was gradually given up, the commanding post was moved to shifting quicksand, and as rock-solid principles gave way to opportunistic guidelines, Western civilization has been losing its claim to leadership in the world. It should come as no surprise that this leadership is presently facing the most serious challenge in its entire history. You see, in Barnard vernacular, the chickens done come home to roost in 21 when panic swept through the United States government bond market. Financial annals failed to deal with the panic. Of course, there was an exception, Benjamin M. Anderson's posthumously published Financial History of the United States. And nor was any of it given the coverage in the financial press that it deserved. Information was confined to banking circles where the panic hit hardest, and clearly it was the interest of the government and the banks to hide the news under the bushel, or under the barrel, or under the mattress. There was an unprecedented peacetime jump in long-term interest rates, causing devastation in the market for long-term U.S. government bonds. Upright bankers looked at bond quotations in disbelief and desperation, and the strongest pillars of their balance sheet were subjected to an unprecedented meltdown taking place before their very eyes. And so you see, the crisis of 1921, 90 years ago, was swept under the rug as the Federal Reserve Bank stepped in the breach. I'd said they'd have stepped into doo-doo, but... And then they shored up their balance sheets of their member banks. In other words, they lied to con people into their continuing investment. An historic opportunity was missed to mend the ways of the world that had gone astray in 1914. It was the last best opportunity to avert the Great Depression already in 1921 in the making. Surely, my friends, by using a symmetry argument, we may formulate another fundamental principle of accounting, the law of liabilities. The law of liability states that a liability must be reported in the balance sheet as the amount payable at maturity, or as the amount that would liquidate it at the time of reporting, whichever is higher. And since liquidation must take place at the current rate of interest, in a falling interest rate environment, the liabilities of all firms were rising. The possibility of a simultaneous rise in the liabilities of all productive firms represents a great danger to the national economy. This danger has been disregarded by the economist profession, an error of omission that ought to be rectified without further delay. This is, in fact, the present paper. This is, in fact, that the present paper has set out to do. That which we're sharing with you. Now, as we know, mainstream economists fail to raise their voice against the folly of cutting the interest rate structure adrift and letting it fluctuate for reasons of political expediency. Implicit in both Keynesian and Friedmanite nostrums, it is possible that the reason for this failure was the fatal blind spot that mainstream economists appear to have with regard to the danger of overestimating national income.
U.S. military and U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
As we wind down for the weekend, email comes in from my friend Larry. The Advantage National Bank Group out of Elk Grove Village, Illinois, has assumed all of the deposits of the Bank of Commerce in Wooddale, Illinois. Another example of shady bookkeeping makes one wonder. I am sure there'll be other banks, but this is one I just wanted to throw up because it fit in so tightly with that which we were discussing tonight. Next week, when we pick this series up again, we will somewhat pick up where we left off. As I mentioned, there's still another nearly 3 pages of notes and stuff we have here to share with you. There's probably at least 3 more days of this history lesson, but they're going to be somewhat sporadic. As many of you know, Roger Sales will be rejoining us again on Monday, and I cannot emphasize this enough. If you go to the website, republictradinggroupinternational.com, or to the Federal Observer, you will find at the top of each of those websites is a heading that makes reference to, come on, open up, you turkey lip, March 28th and 29th on life, liberty, and all that jazz. And if you, because I've broken it, if you hit the continued reading link and go inside of it, you'll see some supportive documentation to use as study guides. One thing Roger and I talked about last night was the U.S. passport renewal. But the next one, which becomes Roger's bona fides, is the one that's marked in red, Get Out of Slavery card. You want to begin to read it. You want to begin to take heart to exactly what's in there, because it'll begin to show you that there is a way out. A way out from underneath the thumbnail, the tax man, the license man, and all the bastardized garbage that you've been conned into believing was due and payable. And there'll be much more to come. So do plan on being with us here Monday and Tuesday. Now, because I never got to it, I'm going to take this last few seconds, give you some market updates for the day. We've not done a lot with it all week because, frankly, I've been busy on this program. Dow Jones Industrial closed up 50 points today to end their week at 12,221 points. NASDAQ was up 7, closing at 2743. S&P 500 was up 4 to close at 1314. The global Dow currently up 4. Oil, $105.52 a barrel. How much of that is because of manipulative bookkeeping, my friends? And over on the precious metals side of the market, well, silver currently at $37.32 an ounce. Gold, and while it's down a little bit from where it was earlier in the week, it has closed up. Gold opened the week at $1,420 an ounce. No, I'm sorry, that's the beginning of the month. I apologize and take that back. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Thanks for your patience this week. Thanks for being with us. Hope you're learning something. To the good Lord see fit to bring us together again without apology. I am out of here.
You have got the lips that suit my taste, and your fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh, baby, what you got?
The next round of the worst